shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
It's a cold start this morning. We have a freeze warning in effect this morning and again tomorrow morning. I'll show you the temperatures as you're heading out the door.
And chaos continues after the collapse of two banks in 48 hours. We'll break down how it's affecting global stocks and businesses right here in the Triangle.
And Duke Energy customers bill could go up. Details on when you have the chance to weigh in on a controversial rate hike proposal that will go into effect later this year, if approved. 4:30, a lot to tell you about on this Tuesday morning. Happy Pi Day, mathematical pie, March 14th. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Ken Smith in for Jeff Hogan. Boy, I hit the door this morning and that cold air was
awake. Did you wear a coat? Oh,
I did.
See,
I know
it's cold.
Absolutely. Let's go over to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WSB Weather Center. No doubt walking in with your puffy coat.
Oh, yeah. Big, long, puffy coat for this morning, that's for sure. We have a freeze warning in effect this morning, and we're going to see the same thing again tomorrow morning as well. We take a live look at downtown Raleigh, where it is 38 right now, but our wind is coming out of the northwest, at 7 miles per hour. So it is breezy out there this morning, too. So the actual temperature is in the blue box on the left, and the wind chill is in the white box on the right. So it feels like 33 in Durham and Raleigh, 29 in Roxboro, 32 Southern Pines, 35 in Clinton, Goldsboro, 31 in Rocky Mount. We still have several more hours before our temperatures will finish cooling off. So we'll likely have more widespread temperatures down near freezing as we get closer to 7 o'clock this morning. Again, 41 in Fayetteville, 39 Rocky Mount, 32 right now in Roxboro. We take a look at our hour-by-hour forecast. Definitely chilly for us this morning with temperatures dropping down to nearly freezing. And then our highs this afternoon are only in the low 50s. We see lots of sunshine for today, and it's nice and bright for the next several days before our next round of rain later in the week. I'll show you that coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. This morning, we're tracking three big headlines that could affect your family's finances. We start with a big report on inflation out in just a few hours at 8:30. The Consumer Price Index for February will show us where prices stand for gas, groceries, and other day-to-day items. Economists think today's report will show high inflation is sticking around. Up until recently, that led many to believe the Federal Reserve would raise interest rates again in response to try and bring prices down. But now, with a potential bank crisis unfolding, it's not clear if that will happen.
And this brings us to our second big story. Growing concern, banks of various sizes are at risk of collapse. Bank stocks are still in flux this morning as customer and investors pull their money out. It follows the failure of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. The government seized both of those banks and promised their failure is not a wider sign that we're headed for something similar to the 2008 financial crisis. The White House says everyone with money deposited in the bank will not lose any of it. The feds are now investigating what went wrong.
We'll learn a lot more facts and we'll have a lot more opinions of what happened. And I guarantee you that we will regulate for whatever went wrong this time. But next time, it will be something different.
Experts think deregulation during the Trump administration may have played a role in the crisis. A full review is due out in May. We'll have a closer look at the local impacts in about 15 minutes.
On top of all these other financial issues, Duke Energy customers could see a big increase in their electricity bill later this year. And you might be surprised at the reason. WRAL's Laura Levine is live in Raleigh, where you can weigh in on that potential hike tonight. Laura.
Good morning, Renee. Well, starting today, the public will have an opportunity right here at the Dobbs building behind me to weigh in on all of these changes unfolding. But this rate hike proposal by Duke Energy Progress is a little different than the one we've seen with Duke Energy Carolinas, who is trying to raise prices because of fuel costs. This is to help upgrade and improve the grid. Now, take a look at your screen there. You can see who's affected in the light blue on this map. It's mostly people in eastern and central North Carolina, including those in Raleigh, Fayetteville, and Wilmington. Duke is asking state regulators for about a 20% hike over the next 3 years, with the first 11% increase happening as soon as December. James McClawhorn with the NC Public Staff Energy Division is reviewing the case. He tells me they will likely advocate for a smaller hike, but he explains why some type of increase could still be necessary.
There are investments being made to strengthen the wires, to add additional ability to monitor when there is an outage, to reroute power so that customers have outages that last a shorter period of time. And those many of those investments have been taking place for the last few years.
So ultimately, that decision will come from the Utility Commission later this summer, but that's not going to be until June. So a lot can happen between now and then. That meeting and public hearing will begin at 7 o'clock tonight. Laura Levine, WREL News, live in Raleigh.
Breaking news, we have an update on a deadly crash in Johnston County. We've learned the man facing charges after hitting and killing a truck driver Monday has two previous DWI charges within a year. Officials say other charges are pending. U.S. 70 business in Johnston County was closed for hours after that crash. Witnesses told WREL the car hauler truck driver had just picked up a vehicle from a car lot east of Clayton. He was outside the truck when he was hit. No names have been released.
Did Republican politicians violate North Carolina's constitution by gerrymandering election maps? The state Supreme Court settled that debate last year, but now justices are rehearing the case today. It's an unusual move that some say is motivated by partisan justices on the Republican-led court. Supporters say a redo is needed to correct what they call a partisan decision by the court's previous Democratic majority. Critics say it's this new GOP majority that is letting politics guide decisions. WREL will be inside the Supreme Court this afternoon. Go to nccapitol.com for all of our coverage on the case. Community activists plan to rally outside the state capitol today in support of voting rights. Groups including Common Cause North Carolina, the North Carolina Black Alliance, and the state chapter of the NAACP will be represented. Democratic lawmakers, including Congresswoman Deborah Ross, also plan to hold a news conference this afternoon to discuss the Supreme Court's decision.
A 17-year-old cheerleader is recovering after going into cardiac arrest during a recent competition in Raleigh. Kiana Joe is a student at Western Harnett High School and was at a competition on March 5th at Barton High School when during a warm-up, she suddenly became unresponsive. Joe's mother used an AED to help save her life. She was taken to Duke Medical Center where doctors confirmed she suffered a heart attack. A GoFundMe has been set up to help cover the costs of her hospital visit.
Now to an update in the murder investigation of four University of Idaho students. New search warrants reveal dozens of companies like Google, Meta, and Tinder are being forced to turn over information in connection with the murder case against Brian Koberger. Four college students were found stabbed to death in an off-campus home last November. Authorities still have not publicly released a motive. Experts say data from these warrants may help investigators piece together an even stronger digital footprint. Coming up in 10 minutes, what investigators say they found Koberger doing when they came to arrest him in his parents' Pennsylvania home.
In just a few hours, we're expecting a big announcement from Governor Roy Cooper. He will be joined by violence prevention advocates and state officials at the Executive Mansion in Raleigh around 9:30 this morning. We've reached out to the governor's office to find out more about this announcement. We'll let you know as soon as we do.
A big winter storm is headed to the northeast. Crews were out all day yesterday in New York and New Jersey getting ready. Some areas could get up to 2 inches of snow an hour and about 2 feet of it by the time the storm passes through. Much of New York State is under a state of emergency.
People in upstate say, well, snow's coming, another snowstorm. I've lived my whole life with snowstorms, but this is one we're cautioning people that this could be deadly.
The storm is also set to dump snow and flood the coast of New England. One of the Carolina Hurricanes' most valuable players is out indefinitely. Forward Andrei Svechnikov suffered a right knee injury against the Vegas Golden Knights on Saturday. And the team says he had an MRI performed, but there is no timetable on a return. The 22-year-old is second in points this season for the team and third in goals scored. The Hurricanes have scored no goals in the two games since Svech's injury.
Yeah, it's a huge loss for the Canes. Well, time now, we're coming up on 440. We're learning more about the federal lawsuit filed against Rite Aid. Coming up, the red flags the Department of Justice says the company missed when it comes to the opioid epidemic.
And good morning, Goldsboro. Here's a live look at the city. We have a freeze warning in effect this morning across our viewing area. WREL's Elizabeth Gardner will tell us how high our temperatures will climb by this afternoon.
From the WREL Severe Weather Center, North Carolina's most experienced team of meteorologists.
It is 4:42. We take a live look at Sanford this morning. Our skies are clear. Of course, it's all about the temperatures today. It's going to be a chilly start out there for you this morning. We're starting off with our temperatures in the mid-30s down to the low 30s. We're going to likely see those temperatures drop just a little bit more if you're headed out for morning exercise. You'll walk out the door and you'll notice the wind chill, too. It's colder than it really feels like because it's a bit on the breezy side. We'll climb into the 40s at 11 o'clock and then into the 50s as we get into the afternoon. We'll see a couple of days like this. We have a freeze warning that's in effect this morning and then another one in effect for tomorrow. We do see a nice little warm up toward the end of the week, but another front comes through with some rain Friday night into Saturday. And then after that, our temperatures are chilly again.
Some businesses and investors in the Triangle are affected by the banking crisis. A run on Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank caused them to fail after customers pulled out billions of dollars in a short time. SJF Ventures in Durham helps startups get the funding they need to grow. Managing Director Dave Kirkpatrick tells WREL 10 of the companies he works with had accounts with Silicon Valley Bank.
It's excessive turbulence for companies that are already managing a lot of turbulence in the economy. But hopefully we've averted some of the worst of it.
So we want to calm down, remember that we are insured, and just let things play out.
Well, financial experts say now is not the time to panic, and a repeat of the 2008 financial crisis is extremely unlikely. They say it's important to remember the FDIC insures bank deposits up to $250,000.
This morning, we're learning new details about what officials say Brian Koberger was doing the moment he was arrested at his parents' home in Pennsylvania. He's suspected of murdering four University of Idaho students in November. Investigators say the 28-year-old was found wearing gloves and separating his trash.
Mr. Koberger was found awake in the kitchen area, dressed in shorts and a shirt and wearing latex medical-type gloves. And apparently was taking his personal trash and putting it into a separate Ziploc baggie.
Other newly unsealed search warrants show police seized a gun and knife in Pennsylvania. They also found black face masks and gloves, a cell phone, laptops, and a book with significant underlining on a page. Investigators also say they found a shovel in his Hyundai Elantra and seized parts of the car itself. Today, the Senate is expected to hold the first of two floor votes on the Medicaid expansion deal. Once it passes the Senate, it only needs a single House vote to be on its way to Governor Cooper's desk. That could happen by the end of this week. Even if it's signed into law, Medicaid expansion would have to wait on the state budget to be passed, which still could be months away.
The federal government is suing Rite Aid for missing red flags in the opioid epidemic. The Department of Justice says Rite Aid pharmacies ignored misuse of prescriptions and illegally filled opioid prescriptions for customers. The lawsuit also claims Rite Aid submitted false prescription claims to Medicare and Medicaid. This comes as data from the CDC shows 500,000 Americans died from drug overdoses between 1999 and 2020.
We're getting closer to peak bloom for Washington, D.C.'s cherry blossoms. The National Park Service announced over the weekend that cherry trees are in stage four of their blooming cycle. Stage six is peak bloom. The Park Service predicted the blossom's peak bloom will fall between March 22nd and 25th. D.C.'s National Cherry Blossom Festival opens on March 20th.
And of course, that brings us to the forecast we're experiencing here as we take a live look at downtown Raleigh. For our farmers, this weather has been so topsy-turvy. It's really been difficult for them, Elizabeth.
It has. And this morning and again tomorrow morning, I know they're going to be out protecting those crops. Strawberries in particular, fruit trees are the things right now out there that they'll need to protect. And they have two ways to do that. A lot of times they'll spray and create a coat of ice over those buds, which seems counterintuitive, but it keeps the temperatures from dropping below 32 degrees because, of course, freezing is 32, and they don't want those temperatures to drop into the upper 20s. That's when those buds get harmed. 38 is our current temperature, so we're looking okay right now, but it is likely that we'll drop down to freezing by 7, 8 o'clock this morning. We still have several hours left for the temperatures to drop. We tend to see our coldest temperature right before or right around sunrise. Our Our freeze warning is in effect for the entire viewing area. That's going to be for this morning. And then again, tomorrow morning, we have more of this ahead. We take a look at our temperature today along with the wind chill. And the temperature is there on the left and the wind chills on the right. So this morning, temperatures are going to feel like freezing. We'll see a high temperature of only 51, but it feels like 44. So that's as warm as it's going to feel today. So it's going to be bundling up with a coat kind of weather with the windy conditions. Those wind speeds will be strongest later this afternoon. We'll see gusts out of the northwest up to 30 miles per hour and steady winds at about 15 to 20. Because of that, we have high fire danger again today. A week or so ago when we had high fire danger, we did have a big wildfire breakout in Cumberland County. So outdoor burning is discouraged, and we hope everybody will take that seriously. We do have some more cold nights ahead. Our normal low is 39, and we tend to hit that at around 7 a.m. this time of year. For tomorrow morning, looking at 29, Thursday morning, 30, and then Friday morning, we're back closer to normal at around 42. We take a look at our chilly temperatures that are with us right now. You can see the blue color contours. That's where temperatures are below normal. Briefly, on Friday into early Saturday, we warm up, but very quickly, we have more cold air that comes rushing in for the second half of the weekend. So here's how that looks temperature-wise. Big roller coaster happening here. So some cold mornings, 29 tomorrow morning, 30 on Thursday morning, high temperatures in the 50s. And then Thursday is looking beautiful. We'll see partly cloudy skies and 65. On Friday for St. Patrick's Day, we will see increasing clouds. It'll warm up to 73, but we'll see rain starting late in the day. That rain will continue into early Saturday. And then after that, temperatures will begin to drop again. And we're looking at temperatures in the 50s. Coming up, we'll walk through the timeline for that rain Friday and Saturday.
Elizabeth, thanks. Good news for people who suffer from migraines. What you need to know about the first of its kind medication just approved by the FDA.
Also, an unusual guest is found catching a ride on a cruise ship. How this owl ended up taking an unplanned 2-week trip.
The first ever nasal spray to treat migraines was just approved by the FDA. Pfizer officials say the spray can relieve pain in just 15 minutes. According to the Migraine Research Foundation, almost 40 million Americans suffer from migraines. Pfizer plans to make the spray available to buy in July. Imagine saving for years to buy a home. You find the perfect place and decide to close, but instead of writing your down payment to bank, it goes to a scammer. Scenarios like this are playing out across the country and here in North Carolina. Five on Your Side's Kelly Author talked to experts about how to protect yourself from wire fraud.
In the last year, Five on Your Side has gotten you back more than $300,000. And while that's an awesome part of the job, we want to prevent viewers from losing money in the first place. And most of the time, it's as simple as stronger emails, passwords, and just being cautious.
I'm a small, you know, small town practice.
Attorney Nicole Quinn will never forget the day she lost $240,000 of her client's money.
2021, when this all went down, the refis were up because the interest rates were down. So we were doing like 3 and 4 closings a day.
By having just enough of the right financial and personal information, a scammer pretending to be her client duped Quinn and her paralegal into handing over the money meant for her client's refinanced mortgage.
I went into full panic mode. I called everybody. I called the state bar. I called the FBI. I called the police in Clayton's, where my office is, and they were all, I think they can all hear in my voice how utterly distraught I was and how panicked I was.
If you think this would never happen to you, think about this. According to data from the FBI, more than 13,000 people in the U.S. were victims of wire fraud in real estate, losing $213 million. That's in 2020, a 17% increase from 2019. Plus, losses in wire fraud overall extend far beyond that.
We're talking about billions of dollars every year that are being stolen. The scammers get more and more sophisticated as time goes on, but most of these situations can be prevented if people are utilizing the proper tools to keep this kind of information safe and secure.
You've got to get out in front of it.
To curb fraud, Janet Thorin, legal counsel for North Carolina's Real Estate Commission, spoke at a wire conference in Raleigh, one of several events throughout the state. She says all real estate brokers and attorneys need need to have two-factor authentication for email, use virtual private networks, and make sure their staff and clients are well-versed on proper wire transfer security protocols.
Those scammers, that is their full-time job. Their full-time job is to get into your computer and to get your money.
Quinn got the $240,000 back for her client, but that's rare.
Two other attorneys were hit on the same day, and I don't think they got theirs back. I'm not embarrassed by it. I want other attorneys and other agents, whoever's handling other people's money, to know how easily it could happen to you.
Keely Arthur, Five on Your Side.
This endangered burrowing owl decided to take a break from flying and enjoy a trip on a cruise ship instead. Cruisers on the Symphony of the Seas spotted it on their ship, where it made itself home for a two-week Caribbean cruise. When the boat returned to port, the cruise line brought a biologist on board to capture the owl. It was taken to the South Florida Wildlife Center for a wellness check.
That owl had a good idea. But how about this for this Maryland's man, luck? Apparently not running out. Kenneth Weinberg won $50,000 last week on a scratch-off ticket. It's the fourth time he's won $50,000 or more on a lottery game. He says he buys scratch-offs almost every day. He's going to use his latest winnings to pay for some home remodeling projects.
What a streak. I know. Well, taking a live look outside in Clinton, we do have a freeze warning in effect this morning. WRAL's Elizabeth Gardner will tell us how high our temperatures will climb by this afternoon. Still going to feel cool, though.
Also, the state Supreme Court will consider reversing a decision that could reshape how voting maps are drawn. WRAL's Nia Harden will explain how this could impact the 2024 election.
And spring break travel is heating up. There is an urgent warning from authorities about going to Mexico, the cities you should avoid when you cross the border.